Hello everyone, welcome back to the ES Podcast. In this episode, Yana from ES Hungary interviewed Elisa and Kathy from Youth Advisory Panel members. They discussed about youth dialogue and adaptation action in Rotterdam, and also the key messages from youth to the decision makers. For the full conversation, you can listen to this episode. Enjoy!
You can't build peace on empty stomachs.
Let's bring one and one together. I watch the world from your point of view.
Hello everyone, welcome back to our ES podcast. I'm your host Jenna, and currently I'm the National Director of ES Hungary. Today we invited two wonderful guests from the event, so-called Youth Dialogue on Adaptation Action. In this event, ES participated as a co-organizer with Global Center on Adaptation. So we have here Elisa and Kathy. Thank you so much for accepting our invitations and being the part of our podcast. So would you please introduce yourself briefly to our familias? Elisa, would you please begin?
Thank you so much for having us. So my name is Elisa Vaillancourt. I'm based in Montreal, Canada, and I'm part of the Youth Advisory Panel of the Global Center on Adaptation, and I'm also Youth Project Manager at the International Secretariat for Water, which is an NGO that works in the climate space, the water and climate space, and that works to empower young people active in the water sector. And also we work on the advocacy side of things and in the field as well, working with local communities to build water governance.
And I'm Kathy, also a youth advisor at GCA to the CEO together with Elisa, and I'm from China, and my background on adaptation is mainly from following UNFCCC policies and multilateral adaptation policy, and yeah, have been having a wonderful year together with folks at the panel.
Thank you so much for your great introduction. So let's begin with our questions. So would you please tell us a little bit more about your experience on the GCA Youth Advisory Panel? What has this experience been like so far, and what are your key lessons learned? Kathy?
Sure. Well, I mean, I feel like we've done quite a lot in the past, just been a year's time. We've started in September last year, and we had a meeting with our CEO at COP in Glasgow, and we then had this idea of organizing regional forums, which Elisa has worked on, the one for North America, and I've worked on a few ones, including Asia, and Elisa has also worked on the Africa one, and I was also in Bonn supporting our European Youth Adaptation Forum, which IAS has also been present, and yes, really happy that we've gathered so many inputs from the regional forums that all contributed to our global youth dialogue that took place in Rotterdam with you all.
Yeah, and I think that for me, regarding the key lessons learned, I think that one of them is that I think the world is ready to hear what youth have to say. I think it's up to us now to take that space, to take that leadership, and really stepping up and ensuring that our voices are heard at the highest levels. I had the chance to take part with my colleague Desmond at the GCA African Adaptation Summit that was held in Rotterdam the day after the youth dialogue. And that brought together over 50 of the most influential, I would say, global leaders in the world right now to discuss on adaptation and its importance in the lead up to COP27. And for me, I think one key lesson learned of that day was that when I was sitting around that table, I thought beforehand going in that I would have that imposter syndrome of kind of asking myself, what am I doing here? What did I do to kind of deserve a seat at this table? But then as the day went on, I kind of realized that we do have a place, like we should have a place at that table, and that we do have something to say, and that it is impactful when we do get the chance to speak. Because I think for me, the youth are the ones that are bringing all of those innovative and bold ideas to the table. And that's what we need to collectively find answers to the current climate crisis. So I think that for me, that was a key moment in our journey so far.
Thank you. So now let's talk about the Youth Dialogue and Adaptation Action, which was held in Rotterdam. So what was the objective of this event, and what are the key takeaways for you? Elisa?
Yeah, so the key objectives of this event was to, so there were several. The first one was to discuss the global goal on adaptation. I'll let Kathy speak on that a little bit more. Also exchange knowledge on the subject of adaptation, share some of the best youth-led adaptation solutions. As I mentioned before, there are so many youth all over the world that are taking really, that are really stepping up in proposing innovative solutions that are already taking action, whether it be on the local, regional, or global level. So for us, it was really to bring all of these youth together in the same space to allow them to create, to allow us, I should say, to create this network. And I think it was a really nice opportunity to finally get to meet people in person. We've been discussing and having so many online events. We're all kind of sick of having Zoom meetings and Zoom conferences. And I think there's nothing that compares to really being able to create that relationship, that in-person relationship, really bring everyone together was really a highlight, I would say, in our journey so far. That was on the objectives. I'll pass it on to Kathy, but then I'll jump in maybe to share some of my key takeaways.
Yeah, absolutely agree. And on Teams calls, it's just impressive to see that, you know, a member from our panel, Nicole, has to join from Fiji time zone throughout the year, and Elise is based in North America together with Joyce. So, and with some of us based in Asia, Europe, and Africa, I think it's just, you know, time zone wise, it's been a challenge. But I think, you know, it's just impressive to see that, you know, folks stay up till like post midnight for calls. And on the youth dialogue, I'm personally just really amazed and inspired by the participants, because I thought that there's perhaps a lack of course, there is a lack of capacity building for young people. But at the same time that, you know, the really fruitful discussion and also, you know, all the ideas showcased and the views shared by these young people from over 50 countries in the 2-3 days we had, it was just really impressive and a great convening opportunity, I'd say, to bring young people from around the world working on adaptation together, which has never happened before, you know, in such a scale and with such opportunity also that showcasing their views to the high level policymakers, for example, like our chair Ban Ki-moon and the SG Amina. And of course, like Elisa mentioned, that personally, I am a huge fan of the Global Goal on Adaptation and definitely looking forward to seeing how these amazing views contributed by these young people can contribute to the GGA agenda and to make sure that this is the opportunity to raise awareness, you know, further our work on ambition and action that can be seized also for young people to showcase what they can do and also to give them more opportunities as well.
I was just thinking maybe it would be good if Kathy took a few minutes to explain what the global goal adaptation is, because I'm not sure everyone listening actually knows what that is. And I think it was a super important part of the event. So maybe it would be worth taking a few minutes to come on.
Okay. Yeah, sure. I guess I can just get it done in, let's try a sentence or two. So I think as most people have heard that there's this 1.5 temperature goal of the Paris Agreement, and it's been very popular as a concept. But at the same time, the Paris Agreement is much broader than just the temperature, which is the mitigation goal. And adaptation is critical, especially for the most vulnerable countries. For example, like the flooding in Pakistan, that is just devastating. And but at the same time, that many of us have seen in the news that in Europe last year there was huge flooding, and this year there's really heavy drought. So that we, you know, the importance of adaptation has been highlighted. And because of the Paris Agreement, there is this topic of the global goal adaptation, which is currently being negotiated. So the outcome of this goal will, you know, have really huge impact in terms of using this as an opportunity to make adaptation easy to understand, communicated by the public, to raise awareness, raise, you know, capacity building, technology and financial support, and to make sure the most vulnerable countries and the most impacted people and communities get the support they need, and also to make the public aware that it's not just about the temperature goal and that both mitigation, adaptation, and loss and damage are closely linked.
So it led me to ask one more question, which is, what are your key messages to decision makers? Why is this discussion is so important, especially in the lead up to COP27? Kathy?
Yeah, absolutely. And I can't believe we're only about 30 days away from COP27. yeah, and I know that so many things are still floating in the air, like people's flights, accommodation, and the limited badges this year. But nevertheless, it's very exciting because it's about Africa, because it's about adaptation. That, you know, for the past year that we've heard many voices and many news calling it an adaptation COP. But I think, you know, that there is this huge importance. And for the presidency as a party of the Africa group to acknowledge and provide support on the adaptation issue, especially following the Glasgow decision to doubling adaptation finance, that I think this year we need to set up clear plans to deliver that. And also to, in the negotiations called NCQG, which is about the finance post 2025, to make sure what's the percentage on adaptation and you know, so that we can provide more support for the most vulnerable countries. And in terms of our engagement from the youth and adaptation perspective, we will likely host some events or gatherings among the people from the Youth Adaptation Network, and also to further our agenda to the policymakers. And you will soon hear from us in terms of GCA blogs or in other formats to share our key demands, and also as also captured by the videos from the youth dialogue, that we do have some demands from policy level to on the ground implementation level to the policymakers. Thanks.
Yeah, and I think one of the key outputs of this whole process and of the event itself was an appeal to decision makers to take action now and to put forward the priorities of the youth. In this appeal, so we've identified kind of four key messages that we would like to take to COP, and that we've been working together with the COP27 youth envoy to make sure that these messages are really integrated in the main outputs of COP itself. So the four key messages, they're quite simple, but I think they mean and a lot. There's a lot to that are within each of one of these points. There's a lot to it, but so the first one would be promote education, capacity building, and upskilling of young people. The second one, to provide an inclusive and participatory environment for youth and climate adaptation decision-making processes. This includes equitable participation of young women, Indigenous peoples, and marginalized communities. We've seen, as I was speaking before, on the September 5th, the African Adaptation Summit that was convened by the GCA and in Rotterdam. And it was quite impressive to see how little women are represented in these spaces. And I think that's something as well that youth can bring. We have a lot more women in the youth movement, in the youth climate movement, which are involved and which are speaking up and taking action. So to ensure that in coming years, we get more and more representativity of women voices at that level as well. For me, that's super motivating and engaging. Empowering young entrepreneurs and young professionals. So this includes ensuring funding, promoting jobs, promoting research. I think the GCA likes to say that in every program that they create, they want to ensure that jobs are created for youth. And I think this is one of the key messages for myself, working more in the water space. This is one of the messages that I hear the most often when working with youth, is that we need jobs. And I think that the water and climate space can create jobs for these young professionals and is an opportunity for economic prosperity, for empowering these young entrepreneurs to really take this space to create something new, but something that can be as well feasible on the economic side of things, but also impactful on the adaptation and climate adaptation space. And the fourth key message that we've discussed is to unlock finance through adapted and flexible funding mechanisms. So in itself, I think the adaptation space needs more funding. Obviously, that's one thing that we're all working towards, is to increase the percentage of the climate finance that's attributed to climate adaptation specifically, but also to ensure that the mechanisms that are put in place, I think it's doing better with the money that we already have as well, and ensuring that this money actually goes and gets to those communities that are working on the ground, because sometimes the money kind of gets lost in complicated mechanisms that make those funds inaccessible for those communities that need it the most and are the most impacted by the climate crisis. So yeah, so I think these were kind of our key messages, and we'll be working hard to bring this to COP and beyond. And what we would like to invite everyone that's listening to us, everyone that will be in COP physically, that will be following COP from their own homes, I think everyone has a role to play in ensuring that this COP will be impactful and will have the outcomes that we hope it will have, or that it needs to have. And what we're hoping is that if we can all kind of get behind these messages, this is how we will actually get through to the decision makers. Because if it's just Kathy and I and the six other members of the youth advisory panel taking these messages, the impact will be limited. But if every young person that will be taking the floor during COP, during the site events, during their own events that will be happening on a national level, if each young person takes these messages and we're all kind of pleading for the same thing, I think that's how we'll really manage to get through and to make sure that these messages are taken into consideration. I don't know if that answered your question, but.
That's great. So let's move on to another question. What is your advice on how youth can be engaged in accelerating adaptation agenda to COP27 and beyond that? Elisa?
Yeah, I think that youth can be involved in COP in several different ways. I think Kathy knows the COP process a lot better than I do. But from my perspective, I just wanted to say that I think that we don't need to be physically in Egypt to influence and be involved in this process. It's not everyone that will physically attend COP. It's hard to get there. It's expensive to get there. It's not all the youth that have those resources. But I think that really ensuring that we're even from a distance, so I myself won't be physically at COP, but I'm definitely going to make sure that even from Canada, I'm going to be following the discussions. I'm going to be talking about it with people surrounding me to make sure everyone is aware of this important moment. And also even in your own country, starting those discussions with your decision makers, whether it could be on a super local level, like you're in your municipality, in your province, in your own region, starting those discussions with those that are making those decisions, and ensuring that they are aware as well of what's happening in COP and of the importance of this moment, and bringing to them the key messages that we just spoke about. I think it's not only those that will be at the event itself that need to hear these messages, but it's people all over the world that are taking decisions at every single level. So yeah, but I'll pass it on to Kathy maybe to give us a little bit more info on that.
Yeah, absolutely agree. I think on the ground work is so critical, and especially for showcasing all the case studies and good practices and also innovative ideas of young people like our Youth Adapt initiative has been doing, which is, as many of you know, a collaboration between GCA and Africa Development Bank and the Climate Investment Funds. And this year, I'm really amazed that it has grants of $2 million together for 20 youth-led initiatives on adaptation in Africa. And in terms of going back to the topic of, Elisa talked a lot about how youth can do remotely. But for those of you who are going to Egypt and or not going to Egypt, definitely join the Youth Adaptation Network, which you can find the joining details on the GCA website, and stay tuned to what GCA is doing on youth and also how you can contribute and where you can showcase your ideas. And of course, if for those of you who are going to Egypt and interested in adaptation, definitely join the adaptation negotiations, which the informal negotiations are open to observers. And you might also meet some of us and also some of our new incoming youth advisory panel members as well. And also speaking of virtually, of course, Yango, the youth constituency of UNFCCC will have their virtual conference of youth, which adaptation will likely be highlighted there as well. And that, of course, GCA is not only focusing on policy, but also on the ground action as well. But on policy, thinking of the global goal, adaptation is not just one moment, it's a years long process. So definitely stay tuned And you can also find out some information about what UNFCCC is doing on adaptation as a whole, the division, what they're doing, the adaptation committee. You can find all these information. There are many reading materials, perhaps too many, on their website. So if you happen to be interested in reading those long documents like I am, definitely recommend reading them. And yeah, and I'm sure feel free to reach out to either of us, you know, if you have any questions or want to find out ways of how to get involved besides joining the Youth Adaptation Network.
Thank you for your great answers. Last but not least, I would like to ask, what would you like to say about youth role in supporting climate adaptation? Elisa?
Yeah, I would like to say that I think adaptation is everyone's business and we need to act now. We have no other choice. The economic and social cost of inaction will be unbearable for all. And I think during the youth adaptation, the youth dialogue on adaptation action, youth from all over the world have shown that we are already leading by example. And our appeal to decision makers is to show bold political will and be our allies in co-creating a resilient future for all.
And from my side, I'd say, yes, of course, it's, just to summarize, it's everyone's business. It's, you know, both from the intergovernmental policy level to local level in action and implementation. It's really everyone's business, from developed countries to developing countries. And also, of course, all the non-state actor groups, whether it would be private sector to, you know, have more blended finance and explore ways to invest more in adaptation, which in the past, there might not have been a proof business case. But I think if for anyone interested, you know, do read our State of Trends report every year by the GCA, that it does show a strong business case. And of course, that the other non-state actors like local governments, indigenous peoples, youth, women, academia, and everyone do play an important role here. So looking forward definitely to see the global goal adaptation, you know, being a success and also lead to more collaboration and communication between all these stakeholder groups. Thanks.
All right. Thank you so much, girls, for sharing your great experiences with us. And I hope that I will see you soon in person.
Thank you so much, Yana, Elisa, and Kathy, for this insightful conversation about emphasizing youth role in adaptation action. Indeed, making small consistent effort is better than doing nothing at all. This podcast is edited by me, Willa, promoted by Florence and her team, and supported by Wageningen University and Research. Keep on tuning our podcast for more insightful stories from all over the world.
You can't build peace on empty stomachs.
Let's bring one and one together. I watch the world from your point of view.